To be happy in every life we have.
Hello, this is Gail Moskowitz, and you're listening to Mental Health Matters. You can reach us today on our number, 804-649-9737. I'm a licensed clinical social worker and have practiced in the Richmond community for 30 years. Mental Health Matters is a program dedicated to issues pertaining to mental health, interpersonal relations, addiction, sex and sexuality, and discussing healthy ways in which to live a more thoughtful and emotionally honest life. As you may know, each week on Mental Health Matters, I introduce and discuss a topic after which you, the audience, have an opportunity to ask questions or just weigh in on the subject. Mental Health Matters comes to you every Monday at 1 p.m. on WRAR-RIR 97.3 FM. You can also listen to the program in real time by logging on to WRIR's website, www.wrir.org. The show will be available for you to listen to by this evening, along with all of our past shows, by logging on to my website, mentalhealthmatters.web.officelive.com. .web.officelive.com. I am happy to send you a link to my site. If you email me at your mental health matters, those are the letters you are, mental health matters, all one word, at gmail.com. Also, feel free to send me your comments, questions, or suggestions for a future show. The number at which you can reach us today, again, is 649-9737. Okay, so I suspect that if you have ever been in a relationship of any kind with a member of the opposite sex, it will not come as a surprise to you that men and women are different. So it would be nice to know why. My guest today, Dr. Vicki Van Cleve, will give us a glimpse into the neurology of some of these differences, especially in regard to how it affects communication. Vicki, welcome to the show. What a great topic.
Great. Thanks, Gail, for having me here.
You know, it certainly has always been a wonder to me why communicating with my husband, or for that matter, I was thinking about it today, even with my father, why it seems so confusing. So my first question would be, so tell us, I mean, literally, physically, what is the difference between men and women, how they process information, and then how this creates problems in simple communication?
Well, that's a great question, Gail. And, you know, I've been practicing for 20 plus years and used to think that the communication between men and women were kind of based on wives' tales. And over the recent years, I've discovered a really important difference between men and women that has really changed my way of thinking about couples and also changed the way couples communicate with each other when I do couples therapy together. And the biggest difference that in the brain between men and women is that men process information on the left-hand side of their brain primarily, and that allows them to think about things very deeply and kind of in compartments. So they're thinking about one topic at a time. And women, on the other hand, have brain activity going on both sides of the brain at an equal basis. So basically, if we're having a conversation together, we're talking about the same topic, what will happen is, for a woman's brain, both sides of her brain will light up on MRI imaging and PET scans and things like that, whereas a man's brain will light up on the left side going up and down. Now, there's a muscle in the brain called the corpus callosum that runs down the center of the brain from the back to the front. And that muscle is designed to help communication travel back and forth between the sides of the brain. And in the women's brain, that muscle is a little bit thicker than men's. And so what happens then is information, when we're having a conversation about the same topic, information in a woman's brain will be flowing back and forth, left and right, very rapidly. And what will happen is she will begin to make associations to a variety of things. So let's say, for example, we're talking about going to lunch, you and I. So we're talking about going to lunch, and we're talking about what we're going to have for lunch. And the next thing you know, we're talking about a salad. And then we remember a salad that we had a week ago with another friend of ours. So we begin to share that with each other. And then we think, oh, yes, well, I haven't gone to the grocery store today, so I need to go to the grocery store and get lettuce.
To buy lettuce.
To buy lettuce. And then, oh, my goodness, I must get lunch for the kids. I've got to remember to do that as well. So we're then hopping from topic to topic, connecting the dots as we go along. So we are associating that one conversation with a myriad of other things. That's what the corpus callosum allows us to do. Now, what happens with a man, because that corpus callosum is a little bit thinner, the information processes up and down. So he's not jumping back and forth in the brain. So when he's talking about going to lunch, it's the same conversation. He's talking about going to lunch. He's thinking about lunch. And he's thinking about what he's going to have for lunch. But he's not having the brain firing that associates with lunch tomorrow or going grocery shopping or, you know, handling what his children are going to have for meals tomorrow. He's not having all those associations. So he's kind of thinking about one thing and one thing only.
Which I have to say, as you say that, this is, you know, I think about when my husband and I get ready to go on a trip, and I'll accuse him of only taking care of himself while I'm thinking about, you know, who's going to take care of the dog and, you know, all these other things. But in truth, he has his plugged-in places that he takes care of when we go on a trip. But it's almost like a template. And for me, it's a barrage of activity.
Right. And that's really important, because a man can handle every one of those topics. But in the man's brain, it's like a box. So when you're talking about what are you taking on your trip, it's one box, and he opens that box. And when he's thinking about who's going to take care of the dog, that's a separate box. And so when a woman talks, she has the mirage, she's connecting the dots. Now, when you asked me a minute ago, how does it impact communication? Well, in the example you just gave, if you're preparing for your vacation and you have this barrage going on, what's happening for the man is he's opening 20 boxes about what is he taking, who's taking care of the dogs, who's going to house sit. And next thing you know, he's like a Mexican jumping bean, jumping from box to box to box to box to box. And then so he gets very flooded and overwhelmed because he can't process that material left to right the way a woman can.
But in truth, he will do any box he opens up to a fare thee well perfectly, and then close the box up and get to the next one. And I think maybe the woman might, you know, I've done this where I've gotten everybody ready to go on a trip and leave my suitcase home.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So a man can do every task that a woman can do in that way. It's just going to be done one box at a time, whereas a woman will do layers. She's more like an onion, where she's going to peel layer by layer, and you might have 20 boxes open at the same time, which, by the way, doesn't feel like a box for a woman. It feels just normal.
Yes. It's interesting. So, okay. So, you know, can you also talk a little bit about how men and women experience stress in regard to communication and connection? Because that's what happens for us on a day-to-day basis, is we keep getting stuck in these places that don't feel complete and don't feel easy for us. So talk a little about that.
Right. Well, so in using this model, that what happens is as a woman begins to talk and talk about all of the different associations that she has going on, what begins to happen in the male brain is it is a kind of a flooding. So you have multiple boxes open. Now, when you have when that happens, you have it, for the male brain, you have stress that begins to be perceived because you have multiple boxes open. You're jumping from subject to subject or task to task or whatever. What happens is you have a chemical called cortisol that drops into the brain, and that's a stress chemical. What happens with that is it's a chemical that signals danger to our body biologically. It says we've got too much going on. We need to take care of ourselves. And so what happens is you will have blood pressure go up, you'll have the heart rate go up, you have respirations go up, and you start to begin to experience discomfort or a disconnection. And so what happens then is the person will begin to respond in either a fight or flight response. Now, I don't want anyone to think that this is an extreme. This isn't like, you know, someone's trying to rob you. It's a very subtle experience in the bottle, in the body. But what happens then is you'll see this is sometimes a man will either stop talking or get a deer in the headlight look, or sometimes we'll say, do we have to talk about this anymore? And that's a signal that he has too many boxes open. It's not a signal that he doesn't want to connect with you. It's not a signal that he wants to dismiss anything. It just simply means I'm flooded. Now, what happens then is then the woman, how that can impact a woman is a woman wants to feel connection. And she is associating all these different things. And so when a man stops the communication, it makes her feel disconnected from him. And when
that's stressful for her.
And then that's stressful for her, and it leaves her alone. And then she has the cortisol drop. And so then she will start to experience a little bit of distress. And when she experiences distress, the brain activity is going to be going left to right. She's going to be making more associations. And so she actually may end up talking more, which then will stress her mate out. And so then you begin to spiral off into all over the place.
It's really fascinating information. And, you know, one of the things about beginning to look into the difference between male and female brains is that I know with modern technology, we actually can look into the brains and we can use brain imaging. And that when we use brain imaging, apparently it has shown that women have a bigger speech center than do men. So I can understand communication getting confusing and leaving both sides feeling anxious and as opposed to satisfied and connected. So what does the woman having a bigger speech center mean in terms of verbal connection between men and women?
Well, in terms of verbal...
You know what, Vicki, very quickly, if anyone would like to call in and speak to Vicki today, the number is 649-9737, 649-9737. Forgive my interruption. Please answer the question.
Certainly. Women, because they have bigger speech centers in their brain, what that means is that they will tend to speak 20,000 words a day, whereas men will speak 7,000 words a day.
That big of a discrepancy?
It's a huge discrepancy.
That's huge.
It's like three times
20,000 for women, 7,000 for men.
That's correct.
That's amazing. Okay.
Yes. And so the other significant piece to that is that women's communication as they talk, that drops a chemical called oxytocin, which is a bonding chemical, and it's a pleasure chemical in the brain. So as women talk and connect, they then experience a great deal of pleasure. And there's a woman who writes called The Female Brain, and she makes a joke about how women talking is second only to orgasm.
What's first?
Orgasm.
Right. Got it.
So women being able to talk and share is a very, very pleasurable experience for them. For men, it doesn't have that because they're not processing and making the associations left to right. And so it does not create the same kind of pleasurable experiences for them.
So do you think that if men knew how unbelievably pleasurable it was for a woman to have that kind of conversation with them and that kind of connection really brings them so much closer to one another that if they understood that, I mean, do you then help men to be more mindful of that and ask them to stay more verbally connected?
It does help men to know that, and men really want to pleasure the women in their life, and that's something that's very important for them. And so while when I work with couples, I help men learn how do you let a woman talk and stay connected with her without it flooding you. And then I work with a woman on how do you share the essence of what you're trying to say in a way that's concise enough that doesn't flood your mate. Because ultimately, a woman really wants to be connected to her mate. And so it doesn't serve her if she floods him. And so it's about working together where he can hear more and she can contain more. And so you have greater quality and better listening that happens between them. And then both of them get the oxytocin drop, and it creates bonding and connection between the two of them.
Oh, it's very interesting. So yesterday I went for a walk with my husband, and I was, just off the cuff, I told him something that I thought was interesting. And his response was, huh. And I said, were you interested in that? And he said, yes. Was I supposed to say something else? And I said, well, I just wanted to know your opinion. And he said, well, you just said, what I thought also. I mean, that made sense. And then we just continued along on our walk. So I guess my question would be, so if men aren't bonded through conversation, how are they bonded? How do they get bonded? And would the walk be enough for him without the conversation, so to speak?
Right. Well, men have in their brains testosterone, and testosterone is kind of an action chemical. It's responsible for sex drive. It's responsible for the warrior in men and women too. It's responsible for the doing of activities, and men have a high level of that. And so for them, one of the ways that they can feel connected is by doing things or visual things or being together and engaging in activities. So,
Vicki, this is, I just want to say the number one more time. If you'd like to speak with Dr. Van Cleve this afternoon, please call us at 649-9737, 649-9737. Okay, back to testosterone.
Right. So for a man, he's just the act of being able to be together and doing things and connecting in that way can be very fulfilling for him. And so when you're talking to him about what you wanted to share with him, and he says, oh, well, oh, is two messages to you. One is, oh, with the intonation indicates interest, and also it indicates he understood and got you. For a woman, one word after she's
shared that's not even a word.
Right?
I mean, it was, huh.
After you've shared a paragraph, really isn't very fulfilling. So it's about, you did a beautiful job by following it up with another question, which is, do you have an opinion? Because that enabled you to have more dialogue and more connection and to clarify versus just assuming that the lack of the word didn't mean he didn't care about you.
So it's interesting because what else does testosterone sort of the hormone of testosterone do in male brains that perhaps do create some other conflicts in communication with women? For instance, I know you were talking before about the notion of how men want to feel like they're your protector, like they're that's a role they play in your life. And doesn't testosterone figure in on that behavior?
Right. Testosterone is, again, it's a chemical that certainly served people back in the old days where men were hunters and would go out into the field and find the food for families and bring them in. And that combined with that, the hardwiring for that, along with socialization, that we teach men that they're to protect, provide, and profess their love, men need to have that. They need to have that both for their brains and also for the socialization that we do for them. And for women, we aren't hardwired that way. Our hardwiredness is about connection and about tending to things. And so, because we're multitaskers and we're associating with everything, so we tend and men protect and provide and profess. And so what happens then is, back in prior to World War II, women were often in the home primarily, and men were out working and doing, bringing home the earnings. Well, after World War II, women went to work and became breadwinners. And what happened is we began to find our independence and be able to multitask in a myriad of ways, including jobs. And so we simply added that to one more thing that we do and that we do well because we're kind of the queens of multitaskers. Well, when men came home from the war, their biology didn't change. Their biological need to protect, provide, and profess is still there and still intact in the brain. And so what happened sociologically is a rift began to occur between men and women, where women, through the movement of equal rights and trying to create equality, would reject men's attempts sometimes to be kind and courteous. And we would then receive that as somehow they were dismissing us or saying that we couldn't be effective or competent. So if a man opened the door for you, then that would be considered an insult. Whereas really, it's his desire and need to protect.
I mean, it's such an interesting conundrum because as, you know, for me, as a woman in my 50s, when I see a man walk to the door and I know he's competing with me to open the door, when I was younger, I would have almost tripped him to get to the door first. For a couple of reasons. One is, you know, look, I can open my own door. Now it's so clear to me that if I just let the man open the door and I turn around and say, thank you very much, that we both walk away feeling so much better. So is there something hardwired in us that where we would like to be protected, so to speak, by men?
I don't know about the brain functioning around that. What I do know is that we like to be tended to and listened to and heard and understood, and we don't like to feel alone.
Yes, that's the truth.
And that is hardwired in us. And so kind of what you're talking about is more of a psychological thing that we have seen is that receiving love from other people is something that's very difficult for women to do and men to do as well. And in fact, this is a little bit of an aside, but we used to think that couples would break up over things like money or work or careers or things like that. And what we've discovered is that really men and women, they often break up because one or both of them is not feeling loved. And that what's happening is just like what we're talking about today, is that couples miss each other's boats when they're trying to communicate. And so learning how to receive love is often one of the main things that I do in couples therapy, is helping both parties be open to hearing and listening and taking in the loving gifts that each other bring. That none of us get married because we think we're going to end up in divorce court or because we think that we are going to hate each other. I mean, we just don't do that. That we're not hardwired for that either.
So, okay. What are some other ways that knowing this about our mates and knowing that their behavior is not so much sociology, but neurology, knowing this about our mates, that they are hardwired, so to speak, because we've used that word already, to act in these ways. What are things you do to use this information to make couples more able to get through the problems that the conflict in communication create?
Well,
and if you have a question for Dr. Van Cleef, please feel free to call today, 649-9737, 649-9737. This is Gail Moskowitz, and you're listening to Mental Health Matters.
Well, one of the things that I do with couples is I try to help them really understand and know the difference between the brains and to not take it personally when each other miscommunicates, that when you're feeling unloved or unheard, or if a man is feeling like he somehow didn't do something right or good enough, that's an indication that the boats have missed or passed each other in the night. It's not generally an indicator that you're not actually loved and that you're not actually important. It generally means you have something bigger than that. So women really need to feel listened to and understood because of their brain centers and their voice centers, their language centers. And so men, I help men know that that listening to a woman doesn't mean you need to fix her or solve a problem or handle that. What you need to do is just be with her in the moment and allow her to speak about things. And then I work with women around when a man tells you or says to you that that you're repeating yourself, what that means is that you need to have one topic at a time. So, for example, if you want to talk about your trip or vacation that you're taking, and you want to talk about who's taking care of the dog and who's going to stop the mail and where are we going to go for, you know, this day on the trip, that you take those in, you know, maybe 10-minute blocks of time. So you solve one and then you take care of the other and then you take care of the other. But that you're not trying to do everything in one fell swoop that a woman might be doing and thinking about, that women have to learn how to speak in units.
Mm-hmm.
And to appreciate the fact that men have units and they have boxes and that we're going to talk about this box now. And that for a man, he's got to learn that she connects the dots and that there's a particular listening style that goes on that I actually run workshops on that teaches that, that's based on an imago therapy.
Oh, that's interesting because we talked about imago therapy last week. So let me just say that. This is Gail Moskowitz, and you're listening to Mental Health Matters. And I'm speaking today with Dr. Vicki Van Cleve. She is the director of the Virginia Institute for Interpersonal Development. And I want to let you know that Dr. Van Cleve is offering a couples workshop on Saturday, Sunday, June 12th and 13th, that happens to be my birthday, in the Richmond area to help couples to do this very thing, learn to talk to each other and get what they need from each other and feel more connected and feel less and feel and learn not to take everything their spouse does personally, which is just so important. You can be in touch with Dr. Van Cleve by calling her at 379-9976 or just go to my website, which is mentalhealthmatters, all one word, .web.officelive.com. And all of her contact information will be posted. I thank you all for tuning in today to Mental Health Matters here on WRIR. I hope that you will join me next week. Dr. Van Cleve, Vicki, thank you so much for coming. And I want to let you know that next week we will continue to talk about gender differences when my guest will be Dr. Eric Orrick. I'm Gail Moskowitz, and this is Mental Health Matters.
Be happy.